On the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down any scripture references that you may want to take with you today. And we'll continue a message series that I'm sharing, going through a devotional called Walk in Newness of Life, 21 Days. And today's topic, the question, is kind of a question and answer format, like day one, is there a God, and on down through. But today's topic is on the in the devotional is, how can I have victory over sin? And so that's not the title. I'll give you that in just a moment. But I would like to invite you to join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you have your Bible, whether it's in a book format or one of the free Bible apps that are available for our phones, like Bible Gateway or YouVersion, Y-O-U version. And they offer a verse of the day as well, and little plans if you're interested in those. So again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll put some verses on the screen. And I want to thank Clarence and those who served there back in the sound booth. But I told him I says a lot for today, and but I'll run through it fairly quickly. And but it is important, I believe, to touch on. The Lord knows we all have our temptations, don't we? And thank God that He is available and He has a path of victory for us. Ultimately, it's in Him. So let me join you there, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And Lord, today I'd like to just invite you in, Lord. We all have our temptation. We all even fall short at times. But I'd like to just lift us all up before you, that you would draw us to yourself and your grace and your will. Help us to just trust you more. Help us to submit to you more. And Lord, for some today who feel like maybe they're really just are failures, help them to know that you're available for them. They're not a failure in you. And Lord, we thank you that every morning you have brand new compassions for us. Great is your faithfulness. So it's your faithfulness that we want to focus on and your goodness today. Now speak to our hearts, I pray, in a very personal way so that we would hear what the Spirit says to us so that ultimately we'll live it out in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Let me pause right there just a second. Sin is breaking God's commandments, so that we're all on the same page there. That's what sin is. Sin is breaking God's commandments. And the fact of the matter is, we're all tempted to sin. I know on a Sunday morning, we might, you know, put on our Sunday morning best, not just in clothing, but hopefully in attitude and so forth, but we all struggle. And the one translation words that first part of the verse like this: the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Would you just turn to somebody next to you and tell them, I'm going through it too? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Would you say that with me? God is faithful. Thank God He is. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Someone said a good run beats a bad stand. And thank God for grace, and thank God for open doors to get away from the temptation and ultimately to have victory. Now would you turn over to chapter 15? 1 Corinthians 10, and now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And before I read this one verse, I'd ask you to join me in reading this scripture every day this past week. So I hope that you did. But if not, it's okay. I'll read it to you in just a moment. But I want to, before I give you that, just based on that past scripture, God is faithful. God gave us His word because He loves us. God wants us to know Him. He wants us to know His will, and He wants us to walk in victory. There is no human parent, no human grandparent, auntie, uncle, any loved one, brother, sister, friend who wants victory more for someone than God wants for us. He wants us to have victory. And not only does he desire it, he made a way for victory. And the Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who gives us. Victory is not something we muscle up to, we earn, deserve, we grow into. Jesus won the ultimate victory for us by his death and resurrection. And I know the chapters and verses are man-made, but this section of 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 1, the entire chapter focuses on the resurrection of Jesus. And the reason he gives us victory is because he conquered sin, he conquered Satan, and he conquered death, and he has victory available for us. So he said, just go ahead and give God a thanks, because I'm giving you, the victory is found, and we can have victory in him. So this morning, I like to take a truth like that and make it personal for me and say, thank you, Lord, for victory. Thank you, Lord, for victory. So that's what the title of the message is this morning. And just to give you an example, in John chapter 14, in fact, I think I put this in the devotional as well on the day in prayer maybe. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. He said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not like the world. A temporary little passing peace that's just based on everything going your way. I'm gonna give you my peace. So don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So I take a scripture like that, and when I'm battling anxiety, worry, fear, whatever it is, and whenever it is, I try to remind myself, Lord, I remember that scripture. I thank you for your peace, Lord. And Jesus, I receive your peace. That's why I'll say, Jesus, I receive your peace until I feel that anxiety and start to ease and to go down. When Kim was, you know, she had a couple of surgeries years ago, and I was able to go back to not into the operating room, but the room right before that. And so she's, you know, facing, you know, surgery, and humanly, we're gonna have a little apprehension, certainly. But I told her, I said, just say it, just keep saying, Jesus, I receive your peace. Jesus, I receive your peace. And then in the same, perspective and spirit, Lord, thank you for victory. Thank you for victory. So let's focus on that this morning. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Would you say that with me? Thank you, Lord, for victory. But then let's get real. How do we live that out in our everyday lives? How do we live out that victory that the Lord provided for us some 2,000 years ago? Let me ask you to turn back to the book of Luke. I'll give you a few scriptures here and there, but I would like to show you this account of Jesus being tempted by the devil in Luke chapter 4. And I believe it's wise to know where our temptations come from. And again, I wrote this in the devotional. I'll just tell it to you for sake of time. The temptations we face and we experience come from our own natural tendency to sin, called the flesh, and a world system that is opposed to God. I want to emphasize, I'm not talking about people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the people. But then he said, don't love the world or what's in it. That's a world system. And this is why, because the world system is characterized by sinful desires that are physical, sinful desires of like what our eyes see, and greed and pride. So that's where we have that sinful tendency. We have a world system, and then there are very real demon spirits that we also have to battle that want to tempt us and draw us away from the Lord. So that's where they come from. And again, those three main areas called lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Refer to our own battles that we had to face even within. In Genesis chapter 3, if you're familiar, when we read the first temptation of humanity, the accuser, Satan, showed up, and the first words that humans heard from him, at least that are recorded in Genesis 3, were, has God really said? You need to doubt God's word, because he's holding out for you. You can't trust him. He knows if you do what he told you not to do, your eyes are gonna be open and you're gonna be just like him and you get to run the show. Their eyes were open, but not in the way they wanted. And we've been kind of going through that ever since. But thank God, one came 2,000 years ago called the second Adam. And he showed us how to do it by his perfect example. And he sent his Holy Spirit to help us so that we can walk in the victory that the second Adam regained that the first Adam lost. So Luke chapter 4, the Bible says this, verse 1. Luke chapter 4, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's so important for victory, isn't it? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, that was after he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. It wasn't just he was there 40 days and then tempter showed up, being tempted 40 days, nonstop 40 days, he's being tempted by Satan. And it says, in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry, I guess. And then it says, and the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, is it wrong to eat? No, it's a legitimate need. Here was the temptation to meet a legitimate God-given need outside of God's will. That was the temptation. And Jesus gave him, this is how he had victory and how we can have victory. He says in verse 4, Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Would you say that with me? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus defeated the temptation by being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking God's word in faith relevant to that temptation. When Jesus was tempted with food, he didn't quote a scripture on money. It was a scripture relevant to the temptation. And then let's look at the second one, verse 6 or 5 rather. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. That was a supernatural display. That's what I'm talking about, a world system. And the devil said, all this authority I'll give you and their glory, for it's been delivered to me and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you'll worship before me, it'll all be yours. You won't have to go to the cross, Jesus. I'll spare you. Verse 8, and Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. What is that song? Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I don't know what key I'm in. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. That's where it came from. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for again, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then verse 9, then the devil brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, isn't that amazing how he wants to tempt us in who we are, our identity? Well, no, we are. We are who Christ says we are in Christ. And let's build our lives on the truth of that statement and that truth to live it out. And he says this, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. The devil doesn't mind necessarily using the Bible, but he will misuse it for the purpose of drawing us away from God's will. I've learned over the years, people can make the Bible say anything they want it to. Let's let the Bible say what it has to say and we'll line up with the truth of God's word rather than make it fit our agenda and an excuse for our sin. Can I get amen? So he says, it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And then he skips a little part of that psalm. And he says, in their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. If you know nothing about the Bible, nothing about the psalms, the prophecies, does anyone believe that God gave that scripture just so we'll go jumping off buildings? So, what did Jesus do in this case? Look at verse 12 again, please. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said. He went right back to the Bible and gave him that pure word of God. And it says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And because when he got stabbed that third time with the sword of the Spirit, the Bible says when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. The devil always looks for opportune times to tempt us. But he don't know it all like God, so he has to look. But thank God, if we resist the devil, what will he do? He will flee from you, and that's what happened in this case. Now let me ask you to turn over to the book of 1 John, if you'll just hold your spot there, right toward the end of your Bible. Just hold your spot. I'm going to give you a few verses along the way. And again, 1 John chapter 5. And the Bible assures us that, our victory is in the Lord. But just like Jesus, we can rely on the power of God's Holy Spirit, and we can speak God's word in faith out of our mouth to that situation, that temptation, and we can walk in the victory. That's how we receive the victory that Jesus provided for us. Now, just when I say thank you, Lord, for victory, it doesn't mean that we just get to take off and have nothing to do with it. No, David said the battle belongs to the Lord, but he still had to get those five smooth stones. He still had to show up, and he still had to put in that sling and use it. We have the armor. It's up to us to use it. God provided it for us. I'll give you the scripture on that in just a moment. So again, if you just hold your spot, I want you to, let me read this scripture to you. It's Hebrews 2:18. And I love this promise because when we're tempted, Jesus can relate to us. I love that he went through what we experience. He didn't fall, but he went through it. He was tempted. And the Bible says this in Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Thank God he's not only, he relates to us, he's able to help us in our temptations. And he's a very present help in time of need. And in Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to just write the scriptures down, it's Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And God gives 8 pieces of spiritual armor to help us stand against the schemes and the devil's strategies to make us fall. I won't take the time to go in that again. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. But I do want to share these with you. I want to give you just 5 ways that we can have victory according to God's word. I'll mention them briefly for sake of time. They'll be on the screen if you want to write them down or take a screenshot, whatever works for you. Oh, and let me just say this about the devotional. It is in the devotional on how can I have victory over sin. And just so you know, any profit that comes in from this, I've been able to pass along to our missionaries. I've been able to give 3 gifts now as money comes in that I've passed on. But if you don't have the money, if you don't have to announce it, if you would just put it to use, you go ahead and take one, okay? And we'll just bless you with it. How about that? All right? So that way you don't have to let that be a hindrance or barrier at all, okay? All right, so ways we can have victory. First of all, avoid unnecessary temptation. Avoid unnecessary temptation. For sake of time, I'll just tell you what these verses say. Lord knows we face enough temptations as it is, so we don't need to add to them. And the scriptures listed there, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 6:18 and 10:14, they simply say this, flee from immorality and flee from idolatry. So avoid unnecessary temptations. So again, flee immorality and flee idolatry. God's people have struggled with those two all through God's word, and we still struggle with it. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus spoke to 7 churches. Guess what they're still struggling with? Idolatry and immorality is just the potential there for it. So avoid unnecessary temptations. And not only do we flee from, run to Jesus. I found that to be that's where we find grace. See, over the years, especially I was younger, when I faced a temptation, my tendency was, there's something wrong with me, and I let the devil condemn me just for the temptation. I might not have even sinned, but the temptation was there, and I was under condemnation, so I tried to get away from God thinking, he don't want anything to do with me, my sinful self. But no, that's exactly what he wants, to run to him. He's a loving father. He said, no, I've got your victory. You just come to me. Stay close to me. And not every battle that we face is a temptation to sin. And that's an important distinction. Now, we can call temptation a battle because it is. But there are some battles in life that are not temptation to sin, and they're even God-ordained. Do you remember when the two spies went into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb, and they had a good report, actually 12 of them, but two had a good report. When they went back, 10 of them said, their giants are too big, those walls are too thick, we're no match for them. But two faith-filled brothers said, they're no match for our God. If he delights in us, he's gonna lead us to victory. Don't be scared of them. They're our bread. That's what they said. We'll have these guys for lunch. Their protection has parted from them. I love that phrase. I thought about this. Sometimes there's bread in the battle. And what I mean by that is there are some battles. Don't run from them. Go ahead and stay in that battle because they're God-ordained opportunities to trust him, not to sin, to trust him, to grow closer to him and grow more like him. And God knows the exact moment to bring the victory in those battles. Remember David? He was the king. He had just come off a great military victory. And this is something else I've learned in life and experience, that sometimes when you're on a mountain high, be careful. Don't let your guard down. Stay alert spiritually, because it was the time it specifically says that kings go out to battle. And where did David stay? Back home online. And he went on a website. But instead of leading his troops in battle where God could have protected him and had the victory, he subjected himself to a temptation that he should have never had to face. That's what I mean, avoid unnecessary temptations. We got to stay in our place, even if it's a place of battle, because that can be a source of keeping us close to the Lord and growing more like Jesus. Now, he sinned greatly, he was forgiven, but he had some tough consequences to walk out. And thank God, because his heart was for the Lord, he stayed close to the Lord and God gave him grace. I want to encourage all of us today, when we feel like we mess up and we're walking through some mess because of maybe some bad decisions, let's stay close to the Lord and give him an opportunity to work with us and get us through those circumstances. If we plant and water enough good seed, we'll eventually reap a harvest. The devil wants to encourage us that right when we start doing good, we don't see the results right away. And he wants to say, see, you're wasting your time, go back to your sin. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Would you say that with me? Thank you, Lord, for victory. All right, I gotta move on real quick. Number two, submit to God. So ways we have victory, avoid unnecessary temptation and submit to God. That scripture there in James chapter 4. Again, I'll just tell you what it says for sake of time. It says, God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If I submit to God, I can be in a place where I receive his grace so that I can resist the devil and he will flee and we walk in the victory of the Lord. So submit to God first. He gives us grace and we need the grace to walk in victory. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Remember that scripture we opened up with? No temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. The sentence right before it said, when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. So pride can go before and lead us into a fall. And I'll just confess this to you. Over the years in my life, I've noticed that when I feel like I sin or I get a bad attitude or get snappy or say something, I would used to get myself under such condemnation. And I believe the Lord revealed to me. Now, I'm not saying this is you. I'm telling you from me. In some cases, it was a display of pride because it was like, I can't believe I did. I can't believe it. I should be more. And it was all focused more on me than Jesus. That's pride. So to be humble, humility will help us realize we need the Lord. And humility will give us grace to be dependent of him and his empowering grace. Number three, believe God for victory. So ways we have victory, avoid unnecessary battles. We've got enough. Two, submit to God. And three, believe God for victory. And this is the scripture I'd like to invite you to look at with me in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And I asked you to join me in reading a couple verses last week out loud. This is one I would like to invite you to join me with this week. Would you be willing to read it every day? Read it out loud, whether it's on your phone, book, whatever it may be. And probably by the end of the week, you might even have it memorized or going your way. So 1 John 5, 4 says this, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And that is the key. We must be born of God, born again, as Jesus said, so that God's Spirit lives on the inside of us. If we're not born again, God's Spirit may be with us, around us, but he's not in us. And that's the difference of eternity. We must be born again, Jesus said, or we can't enter God's kingdom. And one of the reasons I have the order that I do in the devotional is, you know, is there a God? Can the Bible be trusted? Was Jesus really raised from the dead? Because I've got to get to the point where people come to know Jesus first. Because if we jump right into how can I have victory and I'm not a believer, I'm not going to have the resource of God's Spirit that I need to work that out and to live it out. So I got to be born again first so that I have God's Spirit working on the inside of me and living, helping me to do God's will. So the scripture says this, again, verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome." See, Jesus already won the ultimate victory for us. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, and we believe God so that we get to participate in the victory Jesus provided for us. So this is the victory that overcomes the world, overcomes sin, overcomes the devil, overcomes discouragement. Our faith, so important. Our faith is so important. So ways we have victory. And would you say these with me? Avoid unnecessary temptation, submit to God, believe God for victory. And then this fourth one, speak God's word. Speak God's word. Ephesians 6, 17. This is that list I was telling you about. And remember what Jesus did with every temptation? It is written. It is written. It is written. Jesus did what the psalmist said. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." That hidden means treasured. How many of you ever had a valuable that you hid? You went Christmas shopping and you don't want everybody to see that bag you got laying on your back seat. What'd you do with it? You stuck it in the trunk. You laid a coat over it. Hide God's word that way. Treasure it. Hide it. Store it up in your heart so that we won't sin against him. So with every temptation, it is written, and this is what that scripture says in Ephesians 6, 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." That word is rhema. It means a specific word. It's a specific scripture spoken in faith. So again, when Jesus was tempted in an area, he said, "It is written," and he spoke in faith about that. The Bible is all inspired by God. It's living and powerful. But when we get it into our heart and speak it out of our mouth in faith, it becomes a two-edged sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's not that it's a physical book. When it gets in our heart and we speak it in faith, it becomes the sword of the Spirit. And that's how we resist the devil and how we overcome temptation. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Would you say that with me? Thank you, Lord, for victory. And then finally, replace ungodly thoughts with godly thoughts. And I would even say desires, because in the closing question for this day, talked about how godly desires can help us overcome sinful desires. Again, we all have the sinful desires. We need to focus on the godly desires that his Spirit gives us. So replace ungodly thoughts and desires with godly thoughts and desires is how that we can complete that. Because what is godly overcomes what is ungodly. And the Bible says this. I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation. New Living Translation says, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things." Someone said, "As the mind goes, so the man goes." But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that what? Please the Spirit. So dominated by the sinful nature, think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about spiritual things, things that please God's Holy Spirit. I want to give you two last scriptures if we'll be done. Proverbs 24:16, I'll tell you what it says in just a moment. I know it can be frustrating. It can be discouraging when you feel like you keep repeating the same sin over and over again. I said, I know. How do you think I know? I've been there, done that. I'm so thankful for the mercy of God and for his grace that in my struggle, he doesn't kick me out. He's not the condemner. He's the source of victory, the helper, the strengthener. And this proverb is a blessing, is a comfort to me because it says a righteous man may fall seven times. Not unrighteous, a righteous man, a righteous woman falls seven times. I mean, feel like completely mess up, but will rise again. Whereas the ungodly just fall. There's a difference in righteous and unrighteous by how we get back up. Thank God for grace. Thank God. Fact of, I'll never want to make light of sin. It put Jesus on the cross. But at the same time, thank God he knows. He's a compassionate, loving father. Thank God he's a good God. He knows our weaknesses, the Bible says, and he has grace available for us. That's why we just have to keep coming back to him. Staying close. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. I don't feel victorious. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Not our feelings, our faith. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. I'm in the heat of temptation. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. I just messed up. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. That's how we get back up. I'm gonna close with this scripture, Micah 7:18-19. Right at the end of that little prophecy, it says this. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? There's a, I love that. Who's a God like you? Pardoning, passing over. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Isn't that good? He delights in mercy. And then last verse, verse 19. He will, would you say he will? He will. He will again have compassion on us. That's what Jeremiah wrote. His compassions are brand new. I mean, every morning they fail not and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sin into the depths of the sea. And put up a no fishing sign. They're gone. But I love that phrase, he will subdue our iniquities. Brothers and sisters, when you feel like you just struggle like I do at times, and sometimes it can be just one sin. The Hebrews said to lay aside the weight and every sin that so easily entangles us. One sin just seems to hang us up and trip us up every time. The Bible says, he will subdue our iniquity. He's gonna take that iniquity and place it under our feet, ultimately under his feet. He will do it. Let's trust him. It's not just about our struggle. It's about our will. Let's believe God for victory and let's grow closer to the Lord and grow more like him by his grace as a result. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Would you tell him that? Thank you, Lord, for victory. Can we stand together? Lord, we do thank you that you paid the price to free us from all of our sin and shame. Thank you for the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Lord, would you even just draw us to yourself today? Draw us to your heart. Draw us to your will. I want to pray again for someone today, maybe just really down, discouraged, feel like such a failure. Lord, I pray, meet us in grace. You delight in mercy. Meet us with compassion and your love and goodness. And say, my son, my daughter, I'm not kicking you out. I'm gonna be faithful to you. I'm faithful to my own nature. I'm faithful to my word. I'll subdue your iniquities unto you. Lord, we thank you for the victory you've provided for us. Help us, Lord, to believe you and live it out. Even in our failures and weaknesses, let your grace be revealed for your own glory. Just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you would say, Brother Rocky, I feel like that. I've just been struggling and even been defeated in an area, given into temptation. Would you just pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up right there where you are? Just hold them up just a moment. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You can go ahead and put them down. I was only doing that because I want to try to remember you in prayer this week. So, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I'm standing right there with them. Strengthen us by, we submit to you right now. We humble ourselves even to say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. But I also want to believe you for your help. And give us grace to live it out. May it all be a testimony for your glory. In Jesus' name.